J6, number 4B.
If we have a physical explanation of the universe, we Cartesian metaphysical dualism approach, let's say, Descartes would division the universe into, let's say that this projector here is mind, and let's say that the image on the screen is matter. So to a Cartesian metaphysical dualism explanation of the universe, they would say that there's a line that divides mind from matter, and that the whole objective universe which we see is matter. It exists by itself. So Descartes would say that image on the screen is matter. It's a substance which exists by itself. And that if you turned off the projector mind, that image on the screen would stay, because it is in and of itself substance, an entity, exists according to its own laws. And that mind is an entity. If you turned off the matter universe, mind would stay, that there's two different substances. But mentalism says if you turn off the projector, the image disappears. The material universe would disappear. That's what mentalism says. It's not what Christian Science says. Because Mrs. Eddy says you get rid of matter or mental, you still have the spiritual universe. But to mentalism, they would say that if you turn off the projector, then the image on the screen disappears. Because that image, that objectified universe called matter and energy, only exists as a thought in this mind, that it's the thought objectified. So that's an image, that the whole objective universe exists no more than an image in mind. Now, we know that Mrs. Eddy goes on and would define the spiritual realm as an image in mind, but an image in capital mind. So this is why it's important to get this sense of the mental realm. On the mental realm, they'll say the same now, that these beliefs objectify, constitute the physical universe. So therefore, we have this, which could be matter and mind, and then we can go totally into this mental paradigm where they drop completely any sense of matter and mind, as it does here, and just goes into mental monism, that everything in the universe is just mind in action. Here's one. One can get these quotes on mentalism all over the place. It doesn't. Here's one by that says that this law of mentalism refers to the creative force of thought. Things, events, all words took seed in thought. Thoughts are the underlying causative principle which humans have to work with in creating and contributing to the physical universe. So thoughts give rise to the physical universe. In another quote here from Sir James Jeans, I'm using some of these early pioneers in the late 40s, quote, so we certainly have quotes of the people today working in mentalism, but I like these early pioneers because they were the forerunners. Here, Sir James Jean says about mentalism that it has been shown that objective and material world consists of little more than the constructions of our mind. Or he goes on to say, today there is a wide measure of agreement which on the physical side of science approaches almost to unanimity, that the stream of knowledge is heading towards a non-mechanical reality. The universe begins to look more like a great thought than like a great machine. Mind no longer appears as an accidental intruder into the realm of matter. We are beginning to suspect that we ought rather to hail it as the creator and governor of the realm of matter. Then he does something interesting. He says, not, of course, our individual minds, but the mind in which in which the atoms out of which our individual minds have grown exist as thoughts. Because we could say, well, then does that whole universe come from our individual mind? Does our individual mind project the universe that we see? And then the answer is to mentalism, no. No, it's not our individual mind that is projecting the material universe. It's mortal mind. It's the beliefs. It's all these beliefs that are in the collective unconscious. That's that mental monism. That's that morphogenetic metaphysics of Sheldrick, where he's talking about in his book of the present past, that all the beliefs that man has ever believed constitute our unconscious mind. See, that's those archetypal beliefs of Carl Jung. That's that collective unconscious realm. See, it's that realm of a universal and collective consciousness that when we're born into this world, we don't just have our individual mind that creates the universe. It's a universal collective mind. We're born into a collective reservoir of beliefs. And that determines the universe that we live in, not what we think. That's where we'll see again in the sixth chapter in the textbook how the universal beliefs control the collective, control the individual, and therefore the universal beliefs for a long time have believed in a matter world, a mind and matter world, and those beliefs are objectified to what we see as a matter energy world. And so that's why Mrs. Eddy shows that if the spiritual is the only answer to all this mentalism, because you see, in this mental realm, the universal beliefs control the collective beliefs, control the individual beliefs. Therefore, we are under the control of these greater beliefs, control the individual. That's why we can say, I don't believe in death, but we die. Or I don't believe in astrology, and we act out all the signs of the zodiac in which we were born in. Because these are those greater beliefs that control the collective, that control the individual. Whether we like it or not, doesn't matter whether we believe in it or not, in the mental realm they control. As not the spiritual realm. But this does go on in this mental paradigm. That's why we don't want to stay in this mental paradigm of because it is all mental. But what goes on in mentality? So many of those beliefs in the collective unconscious are not true. They're false concepts, false beliefs that believe in matter, believe in duality. And they control us. They say that all men must die. All men are mortal. All men are subject to astrology. So how is there any indication that we can get out of mentalism? We didn't like the physical paradigm very well, did we? That said that we were all matter and that we were subject to physical laws and that we die dead. That's it. No more consciousness. We go. Now, the mental realm says we're controlled by all these universal and collective beliefs control us, that we must die. And yet Mrs. Eddy in the sixth chapter says you must teach people that all must not die. It's not true. And yet everybody seems to go off and die. They say nothing is more real than death and taxes. And she says no. She didn't say much about taxes, but she said about death that you must teach us. We'll see in the sixth chapter there where she says you've got to show them that it's not true that all men must die. And Jesus came to Lazarus and brought him forth. He said, that's a bunch of baloney. You're just suffering under a world belief. You don't have to die. You weren't born in matter. You don't live in it. You don't grow old in it. And you don't die out of it. It's a belief. Get out of it. Get out of that belief. And when you get out of that belief, you don't die. And you hear again. Don't you, Ellen? Yeah? That's where we get the all-hearing, the all-seeing, the all-living. It's those beliefs that make us not hear. So beliefs that make us not see. It's the beliefs that make us die. So it's not so nice to be under those beliefs. So how do we get out of the mental realm that's controlling us? So is there any anomaly that happens in the mental realm? I didn't make this diagram and probably would do it differently according to the anomalies here. So just going on and thinking ourselves, what anomaly, what happens in the mental realm that might indicate that there's a higher realm beyond the mental? Though today, they stopped there. I wanted to show you that there's a danger here because, well, I'll come to it in a minute. What is there any indication that there is something higher than the mental by what goes on in our experience? Well, you can say Jesus if you can say what did Jesus do there. Uh-huh. What did he do? What was Jesus representing? What do you mean by Jesus? What do you mean by Jesus? That's just a word. I mean, I don't know what you mean by it.
I said that before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. You're all right. I'm just trying to make you think. It's just...
Okay,
what do you mean by Jesus? What do we think about Jesus when we think... All right. Uh-huh. What he demonstrated. And what did he demonstrate? I gave an example there already. Yeah. How did he prove that matter and even the mental... We're talking about getting out of the mental. He certainly proved matter... Well, how did he show matter? By walking over the water, didn't he? He said that water is a phenomena, that spiritual adhesion and cohesion and attraction exist in mind. That's the principle of mind tone in the sixth chapter, where he said he walked over the water knowing that the principle is mind, that spiritual adhesion, cohesion, and attraction are properties of the divine mind. So he walked over the water in complete opposition to the laws of matter. Mind and spirit, didn't he?
Well, you're saying he walked over the water.
Uh-huh.
Is that different?
Well, yeah, because walking on it and in it, huh? He walked over those beliefs, let's say. He wasn't in it or on it. But to bring out your point is that you want to say that he did annul the laws of matter, yes. Did he annul the laws of mentalism, the mental realm? Yeah, okay, but let's give a clear example of the mental. I just gave one there. Janine, did you want to say something along those lines, though? Well, the healing of Lazarus is the mental. See, he saw that Lazarus was suffering under the universal belief, that's mental, that all men must die. And he said, no, that you're not under the universal beliefs controlling the collective, controlling the individual. All men don't have to die. And Lazarus come forth out of the belief that the universal beliefs control the individual. That you're under that belief of that mentality. And get out of it. You're not controlled by the mental realm and what it thinks. The spiritual is outside the mental. And so he brought Lazarus forth. He controlled the mental. Those universal false beliefs. So... we have to learn that the spiritual controls the mental, which then controls the physical. So yes, you would be right by saying Jesus is through the mind of Christ, huh? Through that mind, which is God, controls the mental. And he would be an example of that healing. So it's when you have spiritual healing through mind healing, when they've given up many people in a psychiatric ward or mental hospitals as being incurable. And yet Mrs. Eddy gives examples of the insane being healed through spirit, through mind. She healed, and Jesus healed the demonic man, the insane man. So that is the anomaly, that there's a higher mind that controls the mental. Because there are, just as in the physical, they give up cases as being incurable. So in the mental realm, they say these cases can't be cured. And yet they're cured. Through a higher standpoint of the spiritual. Now, in that spiritual realm, Mrs. Eddy shows, I like what she says here. She says, she doesn't say that, but in the mentalism, well, she indicates it, of course, that mentalism, that the human mind is the cause of every effect. But when she gets to the spiritual realm, she says so nicely there, that in Science and Health on page 492, she says, all is mind and mind's idea, and you must fight it out on this line. Therefore, all is capital mind and capital mind's idea. That's all that is going on. That is the scientific statement of being, where she says on page 468 in the textbook, she says then that, what is a scientific statement of being? She says in answer to that, she says that there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. So she's saying there's no life in the matter concept. There's no truth in the matter concept. There's no intelligence in the matter concept. And there's no substance in the matter concept. And then she says, what is life? What is truth? What is intelligent? What is substance? She says all. And I'm always impressed when she says all. All means all, doesn't it? I mean, all doesn't allow the fact that there's all and then also something else. She says, all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. That really impresses me. If all is infinite mind, and she capitalizes that as the divine mind, all is infinite mind. That's outside the realm of the mental over the human mind, which is a lowercase mind that she gives. But here she says, all is infinite capital mind God and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Well, she's saying the only thing going on is mind and its idea. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. See, so she shows that the whole universe is just, all is mind and mind's objectification. That what we call objective universe in the spiritual realm is just mind objectifying itself. Mind, all is mind and its ideas objectified, constitutes the spiritual universe. That's why she says that the universe just exists as an image in mind. Man is an image in mind. An image is an image, isn't it? It's an image. What we see on the projector is an image. Where does that image exist? In the projector, doesn't it? If we turned off the projector, the image would go. Well, in the first record of creation, they says that man is made as the image and likeness of God, not as some entity by itself. Man is an image. We're pure reflection. Man exists as an image in mind. So, therefore, you can see that we of ourselves, Jesus says, can do nothing. I can only do what the Father does. I'm just an image. I'm just pure reflection. If you turned off the Father, I wouldn't exist. If you turned off the principle, I wouldn't exist. I exist as reflection, as an image in the divine mind. So therefore, that whole objective universe in the spiritual realm is just exists only as image, only as idea. That's why she says that the substance of the universe is idea, which exists in mind. That the substance of the universe is mind objectifying itself as the universe, including man. Terrific. It's wonderful. Isn't it? I mean, it's real thought-provoking. Can we see why she says it's time for thinkers has come? We have to work with these concepts until we really begin to see what Christian Science is all about. So, therefore, she goes on and says, and that's the all in all. There's nothing else going on. Therefore, she says, spirit is the immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. So, that's why she says, nothing is real but mind and its idea, and we must fight it out. So, as man, as idea, we just say that I am the image and likeness of God. I'm the pure reflection of the principle. That's why we identify ourselves with the principle. You see, the false record of creation is that man exists as an entity by himself, a personal creator by himself. But in reality, we're just the image idea, and that we can do nothing except what the principle tells us what to do, that soul. that our idea, that the self-abnegation of the ego for the divine. That's the Christ attitude. That's Jesus' attitude. It's not me, it's the Father. It's not my will, but thine be done. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm just that one principle objectified in a unique way, yet still remaining the one principle. I of myself can do nothing. That's why in soul we have that inseparable union with the principle, that we're principle idea. Therefore, the principle which is God is our principle. As principle idea, we have no other principle, government, teacher, authority, practitioner, or the giver of our life experience except that which is principle God. We can't. If we're that hooked to the principle as being the image of a principle or the idea of a principle, that principle dictates to us our life experience because we're only image. This you get the humility of the Christ. And there you get that breakdown, finally, of personality, of spiritualism, where we go to other personalities, or that there's all these personalities, these little egos that have power over us, or personal teachers, or personal revelators, or personal governments. We don't look to any of that. That's all spiritualism, looking to anything else besides our principle. We must identify with principle, and principle identifies us with everything else. We can't do anything else because we are just that principle in expression. And so our oneness with being is to get back to our identifying with the principle and respond to ourselves and stop responding to what people think about us and what bosses think about us or governments think about us or anybody thinks about it. Our responsibility is to respond to the principle alone. And when we identify with principle, principle will identify us with everybody else. But our job is a big job. Like Mrs. Eddy said, the warfare with oneself is grand. Our problem is just to make sure we're identified with the principle. We can't worry about the children or the husbands or the wives or the bosses or anything. If we feel that we are identifying ourselves with the principle and we're giving up selfishness, sensuality, sin, that selfish ego that we feel is separate from God, which relies on sensual reasoning from sense testimony, and that we give up that sense of a personal ego and just and identify with that principle and expect everything to come from this principle. Our whole government, our whole life experience, our whole teaching, our whole practice, everything comes from that principle. Nothing comes from personality. Nothing from person. And that's not easy, you see. Principle is imperative, she says. It cannot be mocked by human will. We're governed by an impersonal principle, and this is what we're learning today. Stop feeling that we're under the government of people or personalities or universal or collective beliefs. So it's tremendous what we are in this spiritual realm. Now, when we look, I'll just quickly here show, then we'll take a break. In this spiritual realm, when it is asked, what is reality? Well, reality is just God and his idea. Or you could say mind and its idea. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. How do we approach this reality? Through the mind of Christ. That mind that already knows everything, that all-knowing mind, that all-intelligent mind, that mind that knows the end from the beginning. It's a whole new life experience, a mind free from those universal, collective, individual beliefs. Jesus wasn't a slave to all those beliefs that said all men must die, that man is mortal, that we are slaves, a condemnation of Adam to till the ground. It wasn't part of his awareness. He obviously was from another paradigm. He was a prototype of which we is our inheritance. We also can call ourselves the Son of God. So that's why he left and said, greater works than these ye shall do. I go unto my Father. Work out your own salvation. Occupy until I come. Here is my cup. Drink ye all of it. You're the same as I am. Just bring it out in your life experience. It says somewhere in the Bible, he dared not call us brethren, meaning he considered us his brethren, his equal. So We approach reality through the mind of Christ. And how are all solutions attained? By accepting the final reality of the spiritual. Here, all anomalies are resolved. The enigma of mortal existence is resolved. No more anomalies, no more irregularities. You enter into the third degree of reality, from which man just then begins to spiral higher and higher from a boundless basis.